Let me go to work. Read a really familiar really familiar story that I've seen it in a different light now. And that's what's awesome about God's Word, amen. You can read something one day and then read it another, and then it's just like God just opens something up to you. But I'm going to Luke chapter 24, starting with verse number 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things that had happened, of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But, think about this, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Think about that for a minute. That Jesus was walking with them, but their eyes were holding that they should not, that they could not see him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace and your truth, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this church and every person that is gathered here today, God. I thank you, God, that you've given us a revelation of who you are and how powerful that you are to the church in this day and this hour that we need you, Lord. And I'm asking you, Father, to move me out of your way today, Jesus. You move me out, God, and you speak to us the way that we need to be heard, that we have to hear today, God. And all these things, I never want to fail to give you praise in the matchless, mightiest name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to put this story in context of exactly where we are right now. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus is dead. His disciples, who was the closest to him, have now made their way to the tomb, and they can't find him. His disciples, whom he had such a great relationship, the ones that was searching for him, that knew that he was the Messiah, but yet they watched him take his last breath. They watched him be beaten beyond recognition. They watched their Savior, their Lord, their God, their Messiah, the one that they looked for, that they heard about, all the prophets had talked about. They watched him carry a cross upon a hill and be crucified in front of everybody, shamed and stricken, and all the most horrible thing that could have happened to one of their friends. They watched this happen. And now here it is, the third day, and the disciples and Mary, and they had went to the tomb and they went to find him, but he was not there. So they thought that he had been stolen. They thought that he was not, now we don't have a chance. He's not even in the grave. He's not even there. They don't know that he's resurrected yet. These two disciples are on their way to Emmaus and they're running. They're going to go hide. Who knows what they're going to go do? But these two are so upset and they're so tore up in this context that we're in right now. They don't have no idea what's going on. That Jesus himself drew near and was with them, and they did not even know that it was him. How many times, let me ask you a question, how many times have you went through something that Jesus is right beside of you and you don't recognize him? How many times have you walked on a road that you're just thinking about, man, I don't know where God is right now. I don't know why I've had to go through what I've had to go through with. I don't know why I'm in this place that I'm in right now. But yet Jesus is right beside you the whole time. But Jesus starts talking to them. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that have one of you one another as we walk and are sad? Jesus is asking them, why are you so upset? What's bothering you? What's going on? And man, I would be one of these guys. I would be this guy right here. What's the matter with you, man? You live under a rock. Do you not know what's happened? Do you not understand what Jesus, our Messiah, the one that we called our brother and the one that fed the 5,000, the one that walked on the water, the one that healed the blind, that made the lame to walk again, the one that we was calling Savior, they crucified him. Do you not know of these things? I'm going to continue reading the scripture so we don't get lost. At this verse number 18, and the one of them whose name was Cleopas answering and said, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days. And he said unto them, what things? And they say unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. I know how hard this would have to be for them. Think about, I don't know personally how hard this would be, because my God's never left me. Amen. But think about where they are right now, the one that they walked side by side with, the one that they was communing with, the one that for 3 years had went on with him. A lot of steps, a lot of ground was covered, a lot of messages was preached, a lot of things was taught, and they seen a ton of miracles. How bad that they had to have been heartbroken. How hard this must have been for them. And Jesus said, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. And then they said, and how the chief priests of our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They was looking for the Redeemer. They was looking for the one that was going to deliver them. They was looking for this one that had been foretold time and time again from the prophets of old, had talked about this Jesus was coming, a Savior was coming to redeem his chosen. But yet, they've crucified him. But we trusted that it had been which had redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they have also seen visions of angels, which has said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but they didn't see him. Think about the confusion that's going on here. You got part of your group that's saying, we've seen him, we know that he's alive, but yet we've got others that come back and say, he's not there and we didn't see him. Think about the part of this story that's just gut-wrenching, if you'd say, that it's just like a roller coaster of emotion. The God that was supposed to save them from all things was now crucified, and they watched him take his last breath, and now they can't find his body. But half of the group is saying that he's alive, and half of them are saying he's not. It would be very hard. It would be very confusing. And a certain of them, well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Then that he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He spoke of this same thing. He said, this body, destroy this body, and in 3 days I will restore it. I could see where Jesus' aggravation come from. He said, have I been with you too long to let you understand what I'm capable of doing? That I came here for a purpose. I am the Redeemer. I am the Messiah. I am the one that God called out of. He's the one that come here anyway for this purpose and intention. Amen. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Then he goes into the word. He goes into the word, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures concerning himself. Amen. All the scriptures concerning himself. Now think about this. Now, they're talking about all these sad things that are going on and all this stuff that just happened, and they're just tore all to pieces, and they're so tore up that they don't even know that Jesus is walking with them. But Jesus starts talking to them about the scripture. He starts going into the word of God, the word that in 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All these things are spoken because God moved upon men of old and told him to write these things down. And he said, I'm coming in. I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to redeem my children. I'm going to redeem my chosen folk. I'm going to be with you. But yet their eyes were holding, and they did not know him. But yet now they said, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Something's different about this guy. He's telling us things of the Bible. He's telling us things of the Word. He's expounding on Scripture. I don't want him to leave me. I don't want him to go out of my sight. come and abide with us. And it came to pass as he sat with meat with them and he took bread and he blessed it. He took bread. I don't know if you've been listening to the, well, we have been listening because the pastor's been on it for weeks about the bread. But whenever Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and gave it unto them, their eyes were opened. That is when the moment happened. They knew then that they was not alone. They was no, we are with the one that our friends was talking about. The one that is the risen Savior. He's right here with us. It was whenever he blessed the bread and broke it in their presence, they started saying, oh man, this is Jesus. This is the one that we're looking for. This is the one that's going to redeem us. It is him, amen. It took the Word of God, opening up the Word of God and breaking the bread of life in front of them to make their eyes to be open. And now they can see that Jesus is alive and that he is forevermore going to be alive. Amen. And I get stubborn in my own ways, in my own vision, and in my own space, in between the 6 inches between my ears. I get in this kind of place right here that I do not see Jesus. I find myself... I can relate to these, that I get in this place where things happen and I go through a trial or I go through a place that I don't see him. I don't hear him. I don't know where he's at. I know that something's going on, but let me tell you something. It's crazy how you could sit down and open up the Word of God and you could start reading a little bit, just a little bit, and your heart starts to just come alive again. It's just like, man, what have I been missing? It's been right in front of me the whole time. He said, lo, I come in a volume of a book. It's written of me. He said, this word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Amen. This word of God is more than just a book, just a letter. It's an infallible word of God. Amen. And we can find inspiration in it. We can find hope in this word. We can find peace in this word. We can find all things that we need is in this word of God. Amen. So it was once the scripture was expounded and the bread was broken that they knew that it was them. But this is so awesome what they said. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? How many of you have ever had holy heartburn? I know I have. Man, I'm telling you, I'm about to have a fit. Whenever you're in a desperation mode and you're looking and you're trying to seek him and you're trying to find him, and when you do find him, there's something that happens on the inside of you that you can't explain it. I've never found it anywhere else in this world. I've never found anything that supplied this the way that God supplies it. It's a kind of burn inside of me, just like Jeremiah said. It's like fire shut up in my bones. Amen. I've searched all kinds of things and tried to find it, tried to find peace, and it's not there. You get a momentary high for a momentary fix or whatever it is, but this word of God will last forever, amen. David said it like this. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you, O God. This word is important. It's not optional for us not to read the word. It's not optional. It's not even a question. We should really be expounding in the Word of God. If you want to know him, this is where you're going to find him. So when they had holy heartburn, I can relate to that as well, amen. I'm going to switch gears to somebody else. Think about what we just read about the two disciples whose eyes are wide open, but they don't see Jesus. They don't see him until after the scripture is expounded upon and after these things have happened. But I want to go to Mark chapter 10. Starting at verse number 46. And it came to pass, and they came to Jericho as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. This guy, blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. This guy had no sight, no vision, not able to see anybody that was walking in front of him, behind him, beside him, and nothing. But yet, and when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, that's all he needed to hear. He just needed to hear that it was Jesus. And that he didn't need a natural eye to hear about Jesus and know what he was. He didn't need to see him. He did not. He just had to hear about Jesus. And he began to cry out, saying, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But yet he cried louder. He cried greater and said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. So you don't have to have your physical sight to understand what you're looking for. You've got to have a burden in your heart, knowing that you're seeking after a God who's able to set you free from whatever it is that's holding you back. You've got to have a holy heartburn for him. Blind Bartimaeus, we don't know how long he was blind or how long he had been in this condition or what even got him there. We don't have no idea. But we do know that once he had heard with his ears that Jesus was coming by, you couldn't stop this man. Nobody could silence him because he knew that Jesus could make him whole. It's no different with us. I don't ever want to find myself walking with my eyes wide open and have Jesus right beside of me and him say, "Why are you so sad?" And I don't even recognize him. I want to have a kind of vision that blind Bartimaeus had. I want to have that vision that's in my heart, knowing that whenever I cry out to him, that it's not just something I'm going to just to say. I want to cry out to him, knowing that he's able to save me, knowing that he's able to reach down, way down deep inside of me and pull me out. You know, one of my favorite near and dear, let me read this verse first, because I'll throw this at you. 2 Peter 1 and 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Think about that for a second. Great, exceeding great and precious promises. What's he talking about? We're talking about in this word. We're talking about in this word of God. And one of my favorite scriptures that I hold on to, very dear to me, is he said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." So no matter where I've walked or matter where I've been and what I've done, I've never took that step alone. I've never been forsaken. I've never been let go or let down by my God. Amen. Because I tell you, it's easy for us to be like these two disciples walking to Emmaus. It's easy for us to let the events of the day drag us down. And anybody that's ever went through anything can say amen to that, because it's very much so hard for us to just, you know, I've been aggravated. I've been aggravated before when I've called the pastor and said, "Man, I'm just going through this." And he's like, "We just got to pray." And it's like, it needs something more than that. It's bigger than that. But yet, really, it's the truth. If I cry out his name, he is faithful. He is faithful. He's not going to leave you forsaken. Even though you feel like all is against you, everything in your life is falling apart, and you just cry out his name, have that vision about him, who he is. I can think about the two disciples, the last time they seen Jesus. This might be why they didn't recognize him. The last time they seen him, the Bible tells us that Cleopas' wife was at the foot of the cross. This may have been the other disciple that they're talking about, don't know. But the last time they seen him, he was a bloody mess. The last time they seen him, they was letting his lifeless body down off of the cross. They was letting him down and wrapping him in clothes and taking him to a grave to bury him. That's the last time that they seen him. So I'm asking, how do you see Jesus? How do you look at Jesus? Do you see him as a crucified Savior, letting him down off of the cross with no life in his body? Or do you see him as the risen Savior, the Redeemer of the world, the one who has come back to take us all home? Amen. Because I can tell you this, if you're looking for a crucified Jesus, you're not going to find him. Just like the song said, on that one day when he did, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he did rise again. Because you want to know how I know? Because he's in me, amen. I'm alive. I'm a new creature because of him, amen. Hallelujah. Because I do know this, that it's easy to think about the last time that God used me. The last time that God spoke to me, the last time, it's easy to get caught up on that. And then you go through a little bit of a drought or say like a little bit of a trial or something, and you lose vision. You lose fervor for Him. You lose this taste that I once had, this taste of Him, but I've lost it. I've let the world, the distasteful things of this world take over my senses. But I mean, let's relate to blind Bartimaeus. I don't know what it's like to be blind. I do know what it's like to be spiritually blind. I can relate to that, but I don't know what it's like to be physically blind. I don't know what it's like to not be able to see the hand in front of my face. I don't know what that's like to live that life and walk that way. But yet that did not stop him. They say that your senses, your other senses get stronger. When you lose one, they say the other ones get a little stronger. I'm not sure. I hope I never find that out. But I could say this, that whatever he knew when he heard, whatever he had heard was enough. It was enough for him to understand that you cannot shut me up. I don't care what you say to me. I don't care what you do to me. I'm going to call on Jesus. I'm going to call on him because I know that once I see him or once he gets close to me, I'm going to have my vision. I'm going to have my sight. Amen. It's bigger than just what we see with our own eyes. It's hard to walk by faith and not by sight. It's hard to go through that. It's hard to say, I don't know why I'm going through this and all this, and just say, oh, yes, God, bless God. It's hard sometimes, but yet it's necessary. It's so necessary. Hebrews 4 and 12 says this, for the word of God is quick and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Think about that. Sharper than any sword. And we can say, oh yeah, we wield our sword around, but listen how sharp this thing really is. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I don't think you understand how sharp that is. That is so sharp that there is nothing medically, physically, scientifically, nothing proven that's able to divide your soul and your spirit, but the Word of God can. The Word of God can get you in the deepest, darkest, the hardest place of your body. The Word of God can overtake that. And I'm a firm believer in it, that if you need something, it is in the pages of this Bible. It is not just the pages of a book. I'm talking about the living Word of God. And I can say, I don't understand it. I read it, but I don't understand it. But man, there's something about it when you start reading the Scripture of God, that He can open your eyes and let you understand. Not only does He open your eyes, but He opens up our hearts and let it be written in us. The Word of God is not optional for us. I've quoted this before and I love quoting it because Brother Eddie, man, you smacked me in the mouth when you said it. He said this one time. He said, if you had one cracker and you ate that cracker and that's the only meal that you had all day long, that's it. Day in and day out, day in and day out, and you don't stop living, you don't stop, but that's all you have to eat is just that one cracker. And you treat the Word of God the same way, shame on us. Because you're not going to have any strength. I guarantee it. I couldn't survive on crackers. I couldn't survive on crackers, much less one. So we wake up in the morning and yeah, we do our due diligence and we do our Bible app and we do our daily verse and oh yeah, thank you Jesus for the Word. And we go on about our day. But then the day hits you in the mouth. The day comes along and does something till you run into something. I need more than just a scripture. I need some kind of sustenance. I need some kind of strength. And I can't get that just from one Word of God. Don't say that one Word of God isn't powerful. I'm not discrediting that. I'm saying that I need a relationship with this Word because let me tell you, there's something else to this Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Amen. So when I have a relationship with this Word, I am reading Him. I am reading Him, amen. It's more powerful than just reading a daily verse and saying, oh, I got my daily scripture under my belt and I could go on about my day. No, let's write this scripture on our heart. Let's get this word so deep inside of us that when you do go through something, you could spit the word back out. When the devil comes at you, you do have a weapon to fight about. You can stand up bold-faced and say that I know that I'm more than a conqueror, devil. I don't have to take this from you, amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about... Like, you know, we've said this before. I'm a book collector, not a book reader. I've got a whole shelf full of books. And some of them, man, you look at the reviews and all, man, this book changed my life and all this, blah, blah, blah. That's great. That's all well and good. But now I can't read a book. I try. I can't. I wished I could. But I do collect them. I do. I've got a stack of them, Dusty. You want to come by and take some? Take some. But whether I read a book to gain some kind of knowledge or not, it's not optional for me not to read this one. Because Paul said it like this. He said, casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay? The Bible also says that my people die from lack of knowledge. It also says that without a vision, my people perish. So that turns every bit of this, turns it back to the Word. It turns it all back to Him because I know that I can have imaginations in my mind and my mind can run rampant. I've laid in the bed at nighttime thinking 1,000 miles an hour, 1,000 things going on and 1,000 things, which way this could go or which way that could go. But man, there's something crazy about it whenever you turn on Alexander Scorby. And you just start hearing him quote, even if it's Matthew chapter 1, as hard as that is to swallow, the begat, the begat, the begat, the begat. But there's something awesome about the Word of God. It's just soothing to me. That whenever you just, when you're going through something, you can read the Word of God and it can change the outlook of what you're seeing. It can open your eyes and let you see the battle. It's not as big as what you think it is. It's not that big. It's not that big of a deal. That there really is more that's with us than that's against us, amen. That we've got more strength with Him than what we don't if we don't walk with Him, amen. Musicians, you can come. We can look at the self-help books to try to gain some kind of knowledge and spiritual wisdom. And I'm not knocking reading books. I'm not. Don't take me wrong on that. Because I know that I have talked to several brothers that have read books and they've told me what this book said and it's good stuff. Really good stuff. Because I'll tell you, you may not like it, but it's my testimony. Right? You may not like it, but guess what? It's mine. God changed me. And if I write that down or if I tell somebody about it, whether you like it or you don't like it, it inspires me. So the person that writes the book, I have to say, write your book. Write it. Write it on the page because that's inspiration to somebody else. But do not let the book take place of this book. Don't let something that's outside of it. Because, man, I don't want to be like the two disciples that don't know Him when He's walking right side beside with me. I don't want to be like them that's just my eyes are holding, that I can't see Him, that I'm so sad and I'm so wrapped up in everything that I've got going on that I don't see my Savior walking right beside of me. Because I know that scripture, I hold it near and dear to my heart, but yet sometimes I'm a little hypocritical about it. That I say the Lord will never leave me and nor forsake me, and that's His word and it's a promise. But yet sometimes in my mind, the 6 inches between my ears, like I talked about, I don't find Him. I don't find Him. I don't feel Him. I don't see Him. I don't understand. But yet, He is still there. That don't change the fact. I can't walk by feelings. I can't walk by what I see because that's evident in blind Bartimaeus. So we've got two sets of people here, two totally different accounts. One is spiritually blind and one of them is physically blind. The spiritually blind one, they don't see the God-man walking right with them. The physically blind man don't miss a beat. So we've got to let our eyes be holding on what we see, but don't let them be holding to what we know. We can't let the scripture that is near and dear to our heart fade.
Don't let that scripture fade away from us. Go by what you know. Don't go by what you see. Man, I'm telling you, you can get messed up with that so bad. I could be standing up here preaching and Johnny make a face at me and I think he don't like me. And if I dwell on that, I mean, that's funny, but it's the truth. If I dwell on that and I say, man, Johnny really hurt my feelings. He don't like me. And I really think the next time I see Johnny, guess what? I'm going to be like, you know what I'm saying? Am I telling the truth? You think stuff. You think imaginations that don't even exist. Just because somebody skipped you with shaking hands, somebody walked right beside you, skip you by accident, not even meaning it. There's 150 people in this room. I try to shake everybody's hand. Of course I miss somebody from time to time. Is it intentional? Not a chance. Don't let these imaginations mess with you and stop you from getting a hold of God. Because this, all it is just an imagination. All it is something to slow you down. Get your eyes, not your physical eyes, but get your spiritual eyes fixed on Him. And know that He is able. Because when we quote that scripture that He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or even think, do you think that's just a scripture we quote? No, I believe that with all of my heart, that He really is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or even think through the power that works in us. I believe that. So the challenge to us, as I close, the challenge to us is this. When you feel like you're so far removed from God, that's when you need to realize that you're as close to Him as you've ever been. Think about where they was. They was in Jerusalem. They watched Him take His last breath, and they're now almost 7 miles. 7 miles removed from where He was. And they think they're as far from Him as they ever have been. But He's right beside of them. So when you think that you're as far from God as you've ever been in your walk with Him, that's when you realize that He's really right beside of you. It's that time whenever you need to start looking with your spiritual eyes and start saying, God, well, I know that You're here. I know that You've never left me. I know that You've never forsaken me. Open up the eyes of your spirit and let Him reveal Himself to you. Let the Word of God enamor you as the song was sung not too long ago. Let it just overwhelm you. I want to fall in love with Him in His Word. I want to know Him by His Word so much because guess what? He is the Word. I want to know Him more and more and more. So the challenge to us is this. Don't let your spiritual life be dictated by what you see. Don't let it be driven by what you see going on around you or what you've heard, or the news is just nasty. The news is just a distraction. Let your spirituality take off and burn within you from the Word of God. That's where we find hope. That is where we find peace. That is where we find joy. That is where we find life and life more abundant. That's where we can find hope. That's, man, it's like unspeakable and full of glory is as the Word, as Peter said it. It's joy that's down inside of me that the world cannot supply. No matter where you look for it at, you're never going to find it like this. Last thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to be quiet. Just like I said, it's my testimony. Just like that song we've sung it, I've searched the world and tried to find things. I've tried to find things, but man, nothing satisfies me like this. Nothing satisfies me like this. Man, when you're just in your lowest of lows and you start hearing the Word of God, it changes your attitude. Your attitude changes. Think about that. It's got so much power that it changes everything that you see and how you see it. So let's get in the Word as deep as we can and remember that the Word of God abides in us and we are also part of Him, so that makes us the Word of God as well. Because there's people that's looking at you. There's people that's watching you. I go to work and we all have people at work. Sometimes they're just like, man, I really don't like working with them. But guess what? They're in your life for a reason. Shed the light of God. Show the light of God out of you. Let them see that there's something different in you. change the atmosphere. Amen. Hallelujah.